And hundreds more are missing after muddy rubble swept through the Regent area near the capital Freetown on Monday. A mass burial of victims is now being planned to free up space in the mortuaries. James Chifwelu is in Sierra Leone for the charity World Vision, and he and his team went up to Regent to see the area. I asked him what he'd seen.
When it happened, actually, it was quite a surprise to all of us. So we got the fresh news through our member of staff who lost a family member. He got the news, a call that the entire family of his extended family members had been covered in mud after a landslide. So after we sent the team quickly to just go and check, they were actually just going to check on a family member's situation, and then discovered this was such a large-scale disaster that affected the number of households. So this is how news broke about the whole scenario to me as an individual and to our office.
And what were the things that struck you when you and your team actually got up there?
I think it's just the extent of the damage, where well-built houses that were on a hill were all razed down and buried. And at the same moment, there were some people who were still trapped under, and they were telephoning people to come and rescue them. Others were covered, like, with big boulders on top of their houses in mud, and they couldn't come out. And there were also a number of injured and broken pieces and body parts. So it's such a traumatizing thing to see. And wailing was all over. People were just shouting and crying out because it was such a traumatizing event.
And what sort of resources does the government of Sierra Leone have to help?
The government, of course, is taking the lead in helping, and they already have their resources through their ministries, but these are not adequate, especially that this came so abruptly. Even if the rainfall is cyclic here, it's quite heavy every year, but the devastation this year is the worst that this country has recorded in terms of the damage to property and human lives. So the existing resources have not been adequate, and that's why the government has called upon all the partners to come together and contribute resources in always possible.
Yeah, and when you talk about partners, that brings in organizations like World Vision. What can you do, and what do you need?
Well, World Vision has already offered to participate. Like tomorrow, we are going to be donating some water purification tablets, sachets, that are able to cover 2,000 families over a period of a month. We'll also be mobilizing some more resources to provide blankets and some other water buckets to help people begin to cope. We know that our contribution is just a part, and there are many partners who are also meeting different other parts. There are a number of needs that have been identified there, and all partners are finding a key place to play. Food is a need, water is a need, medical facilities is a need, shelter is a need, and then we also have psychosocial counseling required.
We often tend to forget it's not the dead in natural disasters, it's the living, isn't it? And the psychological impact on people must be extraordinary.
It is extraordinarily very difficult. It's very painful because Sierra Leone is just coming out of a very serious, traumatizing episode of Ebola that the country had just been burying. Now we have this scenario where, again, people are seeing dead bodies. We are having people running around rescuing people from the mud. And the most other painful part that the population is seeing, again, is this movement of ambulances and sirens going to pick bodies. This is a very difficult and painful reminder of what was happening during the Ebola crisis. So this is bringing a lot of bad memories from people that are talking to me. They're saying this, they don't just like. But it has to happen, but it's quite traumatizing.
And are there families who are saying, well, enough's enough, we're going to try to move on? Have they got the wherewithal to do that? Can they go anywhere else?
Well, at the moment, it's just all the well-wishers that are coming up to deal with the initial responses to save lives and protect people. For example, there are a few schools that have been identified for immediate shelter for those that are affected, and they are sheltering there, and those who need to support them are, through a government-coordinated effort, getting into there to give food and to give other support required. It's quite a difficult scene, but partners are all working to ensure that we also meet the need of shelter to begin to cover the immediate need now.
And that was James Chifwelu. French President Emmanuel Macron has spent his 100th day in office. He came to power in May. Fancy that, been 100 days. Promising a fresh approach and an end to traditional bipartisan politics. But have his early actions matched his promising words? I've been speaking to the political expert and writer, Anne-Elisabeth Moutet, and she's given me a view on how Mr. Macron is being seen now by his French contemporaries.
On the one hand, people were very happy with his beginnings. They thought that he was bringing back dignity to the function at the same time that he was showing nimbleness on the international stage. And I think, you know, that has not changed. There was a feeling that he could make France's voice heard. He received Trump, he received Putin, and in either case, it looked as if he was begging for favors, but rather almost the opposite. There was a feeling that he's got a clear game plan, again, in foreign policy, and that includes a strength, because of Brexit, strengthening the French-German axis with suddenly sort of making France look to the Germans as a responsible and efficient partner. So that was well perceived. People also knew that he was going to start reforms that would be difficult to get through, and that would not necessarily help people, at least in the first place. It would be painful, and he announced cuts, and his prime minister announced cuts, and people were sort of expectant. And then there was a series of gaffes and mistakes that suddenly brought his figures down, because when you're waking in a state of expectancy, and at the same time that you're worried, any indication that actually the guy you're trusting doesn't really know where he's going is something that's going to hit hard. And one of the ways that people thought they didn't know anymore where he was going was just to see the parliamentary performance of the mass République En Marche new MPs, half of whom had never been in held political office before, let alone in the House.
But don't they need to be a little patient? Because they've only been there for 5 minutes, haven't they?
It's true they haven't been there, but on the other hand, some of them are experienced, and if not, you just give them a bit of training just because you let them loose onto getting bills passed. At one stage, there was a bill going through Parliament, and they voted against an amendment that they had brought in the first place, for instance. That kind of gaffe. And there was a president chairing one of these sessions, and she had to be told minute by minute what to do by one of the civil servants who actually do run the National Assembly. All of this looked bad. There's also the feeling that Macron wants to look like he's different from François Hollande, but his authoritarianism is beginning to chafe. And one, of course, example that really sort of did not help him was when he gave a speech the day before Bastille Day. It was a traditional cocktail party at the Ministry of Defense, and he accused the chief of the joint staff, General Pierre de Villiers, to have basically behaved unbecomingly, having commented and pressured the government, and that this was not acceptable, and the general had to resign. Now, several things about this. The general was speaking behind closed doors to the Defense Committee of the National Assembly. The Defense Committee of the National Assembly is not supposed to be public, and it is better if a military chief can say what he thinks and what he believes, i.e. that the cuts were unbearable for the kind of deployment that's being asked of the French army right now. But if this is leaked, and it was leaked again by one of those new MPs who was part of the committee, and then the president acts on it in such a dismissive way, that is shocking. The general is 61 years old. He's a veteran of Afghanistan, Iraq, Mali, Kosovo. And Macron, who is 39 years old and was never in the army, told him, I am your chief and you have to obey me, literally in those words. And it was completely ungracious. And when he left the building of the Ministry of Defense, and somebody took a video with a telephone so you could see him walking out with a crowd of people applauding him. This was leaked on YouTube. And when I say leaked, this was put on YouTube by the Ministry of Defense itself. Mm. And it absolutely looked terrible for the president. There was a feeling of overreach, and there was a feeling that he did not make the difference between a civil servant and somebody who's in charge of lives. So that really went very badly for him.
But is there any group that he's actually in favor with then?
That's an interesting question. He's lost partly